Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and we are here with our second Trivial Warfare Listeners Tournament episode. Today on the show, I have Nick Suberling and Scott Barber. Hey guys, how are you doing?
What's happening?
What's going on, fellas?
Doing good, guys. So now, Nick, you've been on the show before. We know you're the host of Inside the Jungle. We know that you have failed to climb the mountain and reach the top, kind of like your Bengals.
Well, that's not true. I did win an episode when I competed against Ramona and Jay.
Oh, that's right.
Actually, Podcast Movement.
And that was a really good win, by the way.
It was.
I agree with you. Okay, so I tease a little bit about the Bengals because we know you do a Bengals show, and Scott is actually a Bengals fan who listens to your show.
Sorry, Scott.
Yeah, guilty as charged. Actually, I'm a huge fan of both of your podcasts, and again, it's an honor just to be talking to both of you. But yeah, unfortunately, Bengals came up a little short once again this year, first round out.
So now I thought I was really, really impressed with a good 58 minutes of that game. What happened, man? How did that go down that way?
What happened was the New York Jets lost the week before, which meant the Steelers had to come to Cincinnati. And anytime the Steelers come to Cincinnati, it never bodes well. And yeah, a couple players just lost their minds there in that final minute that ruined a good game.
So do you, I was just talking to Scott before we started about Adam Jones, who might be a free agent.
Well, he is a free agent.
Yeah. Do you want to see him gone or do you want to keep him?
I actually would like to have him back.
And Scott, you said the same thing, right?
The exact same thing, yeah. I was trying to explain to Jonathan, people outside of the Bengals fandom don't really understand how important Adam Jones, how much of a fire plug he is for that team. It seems like every time he touches the ball, something good happens. And
he's on defense, of course.
But he's a kick returner, too.
Though. Oh, okay, yeah.
He gets so much flack for the negative things that he does. It draws away so much from the positive things that he does. But he does so many really good things for the defense and special teams. You can't even begin to name.
And not only that, they're not very deep at that position. Even though they've got two first-round cornerbacks that are behind Adam Jones, they still have issues at that position. So he's really the veteran leader on that team. And I know he's had issues in the past, but Scott's exactly right. He's a leader on the team. He gets everybody fired up. And so, yeah, I'd like to have him back. And I don't think that there's going to be a lot of NFL teams that are going to go splash the money for him.
No.
So I think he will be back. And, we'll see. He had a really good year playing cornerback for the Bengals.
As a Jaguars fan, I understand being thin at the cornerback position. So I totally understand.
Right?
Hey. Too soon.
Sorry.
All right. So, well, let's go ahead and get right into warming up Chris.
Warming up Chris!
Your question, and remember, you're competing with the other two folks who are going to be doing their piece at the end of this show. Your question is about the top-selling breakfast cereals in 2014. I have a list of the top-selling breakfast cereals. I want to see how many of these top 10 breakfast cereals you can name.
All right.
This is these numbers are coming from bakeryandsnacks.com, for the record, so I didn't make them up. Now, you guys get to work together, so it's not you're not competing with each other. You're working together against the other group. All right? So go ahead and start naming them. Who do you got?
Well, you got to go with Frosted Flakes, right, Scott?
That's a strong start.
Frosted Flakes, number two.
Wow. I was thinking actually Cheerios just from the kid aspect. Seems like every kid I know has Cheerios in their little pouches that the mom packs for them. So.
Cheerios, number four.
I'm going to go, what about Fruit Loops?
Fruit Loops is number eight.
Life cereal, maybe? It seems like
cereal not on the list.
No life cereal. Okay.
How about Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Number five.
Oh, excellent.
Much higher than I expected, actually.
Oh, how about this one? How about Chex?
Not on the list.
Not on the list.
No.
That's every Christmas someone seems to make Chex Mix. That's surprising.
I think they sell it as Chex Mix now, though.
Right.
So they've lost those sales.
Let's go with Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms, number seven on the list. Nick knows his cereals.
Yeah, evidently.
We still don't have number one, though?
No, you haven't even touched number one. You haven't even sniffed it.
What about Wheaties?
Not on the list. Wheaties actually taste terrible.
It does. It's the worst cereal ever.
I've tried. I've thought to myself, I want to be like the guys on that cover.
Exactly.
But it's terrible.
It's okay. It's okay if you take like a cup of sugar and pour it
there
over.
There you go.
It.
Yeah. What I want to know.
Which is just Frosted Flakes.
They name right. them Wheaties because they're made out of wheat. Why don't they have a cereal named Cornies?
Well, they have cornflakes, but that's yeah, not but that's on not... the top 10, I guarantee you.
You're right. No cornflakes here. What else do you have? You're missing.
Apple Jacks?
No, no Apple Jacks. You're missing number 1, number 3, number 6, number 9, and number 10.
Oh, I got one. Cocoa Puffs.
No, sir.
Wow.
Really?
Really.
What about Raisin Bran?
Raisin Bran, number 9 on the list.
Wow, barely.
Actually,
barely
now, missed. Chris wrote this list for me. This is truly a warming up Chris question.
Oh, okay.
He wrote down Rice Bran. I am 100% confident that that is actually supposed to be Raisin Bran, so I'm giving it to
you.
Yeah,
I've never heard of Rice Bran.
Neither have I.
Oh, I got one. Rice Krispies.
Rice Krispies, number 10 on the list.
So we've got 1, 3, and 6 left, right?
You have 1, 3, and 6 left.
Wow. So what the heck is number 1? What about, Scott, what about Fruity Pebbles? You think that's a good one?
Yeah, throw it out there, sure.
Negative, no Fruity Pebbles.
Wow.
And I'm going to give you a 1 minute time limit to make this interesting.
I'm just trying to picture the cereal aisle in my head. And
yeah, me too.
Coming up blank.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Honey Nut Cheerios, number 1 on the list.
See, I would have assumed that was part of Cheerios. Okay.
Okay, so we have 2 left?
Yeah, 3 and 6 left,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 3 and 6 left. And you have 20 seconds.
Raisin? Did we say Raisin Bran?
You
yeah,
did.
I said that one.
5, 4, 3,
Reese's
2,
Puffs.
1.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right. You did really good. You got 8 out of 10. Number 6 was Frosted Mini Wheats.
Oh.
Didn't say Frosted Mini Wheats. And number 3 was Honey Bunches of Oats.
Yeah.
Which, truthfully, that's really climbed the list for Honey Bunches of Oats to have jumped up over the rest of those cereals. Good job, Honey Bunches
well,
of Oats.
Well, these are 2 cereals I've heard of.
Yeah, it's not some make-believe stuff, right?
You know what I'm disappointed isn't in that top 10 list?
What's that?
Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Oh.
That's some good cereal.
What about Cookie Crisp?
Cookie Crisp.
I loved those commercials as a kid. All right, guys, so here's the deal. We're going to go head-to-head. Your game is going to be 10 questions and a final. All right?
All right.
Are you guys ready to get rolling?
Think
all right,
so.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do this. Your first category is literature.
All right. I'm done.
It's not Shakespeare. You're right, okay. Good. Here we go. In this short story, The Gift of the Magi, what does the wife sell for $20?
I will tell you this. I have never read the short story, The Gift of the Magi.
Oh, it's actually quite beautiful.
I've never read it either, but I have a guess. I'm locking it in. Nick, if you want to start talking, go ahead.
You've written it down?
Yeah, I've written it down.
All right.
So she sells something for $20, right?
Yes.
What could she have sold? For $20, she sold... I have honestly zero clue. Again, I've never read this story, so I'm just going to say her soul.
Her soul for $20. Okay. That was a dark, dark story. Scott, what did you write down?
I'm actually thinking I'm confusing this story with another story, but I wrote down, for some reason, hair.
You wrote down hair. Okay.
Hair.
I see
I was
it.
Thinking that for some reason, I think I've got that mixed up with another story.
So, in the story, The Gift of the Magi, the husband is trying to earn an expensive present for his wife, and the wife is trying to do the same for the husband. The husband buys the wife a set of combs, and the wife sells her hair to buy him a pocket watch.
Oh, wow. Nice job, Scott.
Yeah, good job.
I didn't know why I remembered that, but I just I remembered it from some story, and I'm glad to know it was the story that I didn't read that I actually got right.
You nailed that one. Great job. Yeah,
thanks.
I think he's sandbagging me.
All right. Category number 2 is cycling. What would an American cyclist call what Brits know as mudguards? What would an American cyclist call what Brits know as mudguards?
I'm locked in.
Mudguards. Can't seem to bring the proper term up, but it's I keep thinking the things that go over the wheels that keep the mud from flying back, but I don't think like the cycles that they use for cycling have those. So mud guards. I guess that's as good as answer as I can come up with is whatever.
I'm going to need the proper name for
them.
There's a name for them.
Shoot. I can't think of the proper name for them. Tire flaps. I don't know. I can't think of the proper name for them. So go tire flaps.
Nick, what do you have?
Well, I always called it this on my bike when I was growing up. When you say cyclist, I don't know if you're really talking about like Tour de France cyclists or you're just talking about bikes. But the answer I wrote down was fenders.
The correct answer is fenders.
Fenders, yeah.
And it is the little metal thing that covers the tires to keep the mud from coming up. Good job.
Good job. Yeah, I just could not come up with fenders for some reason. Okay.
All right. Round three, your category is going to be science.
Science.
All right, here we go. What is the second smallest planet in our solar system?
Now, in your world, is Pluto still a planet in your world, or are we going...
I cannot answer that for you.
Oh.
That's up for your knowledge to determine.
All right, I wrote down an answer, so I guess I'm locked in.
You don't sound happy about it.
I know that Pluto was recently declassified as a planet, and I'm pretty sure if Pluto's out of the mix... that means Mercury's the smallest planet. So that would lead me to believe that it's either Venus or Mars. And I'm trying to remember which one is the smaller of the two. And I'm going to have to guess Venus.
All right.
So Venus, final answer for me.
Scott says Venus. Nick, what do you have?
I wrote down Venus because Scott is right. Pluto is not a planet. It is now a dwarf planet. But I wrote down Venus.
So Scott is right. Pluto is not a planet. Mercury is the smallest planet. But Venus is roughly the size of Earth, which means that Mars is the second smallest planet in our solar system. Such a big name for such a small planet.
I know.
All right. After three rounds, it is tied 10-10. Tight game. The next category is math.
All right, here we go.
I've been saving a math question for you.
All right.
How many sides does a nonagon have? A nonagon.
Oh, you're locked in?
You locked in?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, well, octagon's 8. I don't think it's for 7. I can't remember what a 7 is. So I'm going to guess 9 sides.
All right, Nick says 9. Scott, what do you have?
I have 9 down as well.
9. You both said 9. The correct answer is 9.
All right.
Good job, gentlemen. I didn't stump anybody with my math question.
It's actually technically...
geometry?
Geometry, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
But it's math.
It's math adjacent, at least. <Right. so. laughs>
Round 5, the category is music. What Detroit record company, founded in 1959, went on to become one of the most successful in the 20th century?
All right, I'm locked in.
I don't know if this is the name of the record company itself, but I'm just going to guess Motown Records.
Okay, Scott, what did you say?
Motown Records, that's what I have as well.
The correct answer is Motown Records.
Right.
You guys are on a roll now. After 5 rounds, it is 30-30. And the next category is alcohol.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. What is the first name of Mr. Finn, the owner/bartender of Chicago's Lone Star Saloon, who was known for his drug-laced drinks?
I'm locked in.
Nick, you look like you want me to repeat it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. What is the first name of Mr. Finn, the owner/bartender of Chicago's Lone Star Saloon, who was known for his drug-laced drinks?
I don't know the answer, so I'm just going to throw out a lucky guess. And I don't know, for whatever reason, Patty is jumping to my mind. I don't know if this is the correct answer, but I'm going with Patty.
Patty, okay. Scott, what were you thinking?
Well, I've always heard the term slip someone a Mickey. And I'm pretty sure that's where that comes from, is from Mickey Finn. So I wrote down Mickey as my answer.
Scott is 100% correct. It is Mickey, and that is where the term slipping someone a Mickey comes from.
I've never even heard of Mickey Finn before.
That was really well done right there.
Nice job. Yeah,
thanks. It's good to know that my ability to know how to drug someone illegally comes to use. I'm on a pub trivia team here in West Virginia, and one of the teams is that we play against recently is Bill Cosby's bartender. we have some interesting teams.
Wow. All right, question 7. Category is sports. Who played 20 seasons in the NBA and holds the record for most points scored in a career?
You want to do a 3-2-1?
Let's do it.
Classic 3-2-1? All right. 3-2-1. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Good job, gentlemen. Now, did you get that based on how long he played or based on being the all-time points leader? All-time points leader.
I gave it away.
So after 7 rounds, Scott is in the lead 50-40.
All right.
Close one.
50-40. And on a roll, Scott has answered 4 correct in a row here.
And that jinx will certainly put an end to that.
Thank you, no problem. All right. Your 8th category is movies. I want you to name the actor or actress who appeared in all of the following films.
Okay.
The films are City Slickers, Donnie Darko, and The Day After Tomorrow. City Slickers, Donnie Darko, Day After Tomorrow.
Well, I've never seen Donnie Darko or Day After Tomorrow.
I've seen all of these movies, just not enough to know deep into the cast of all of these movies.
I'm pretty sure it's not Jack Palance.
Well, you just helped Scott out there, Nick.
That would be entertaining, though, if it was Jack Palance. I can't see him doing one-arm push-ups in Donnie Darko or anything. This is City Slickers 1, right?
That is correct.
Okay. All right, I've got something written down. I'm just going to go ahead and call it locked in. So if you want to talk it out, Nick, go right ahead.
All right. You said actor or actress?
I said actor or actress.
Well, I don't think it was Daniel Stern. I think that he's too much of an oddball kind of character. And if I'm not mistaken, Donnie Darko and Day After Tomorrow are probably a little more on the serious side of things. So I'm going to go with Bruno Kirby.
Okay, Nick says Bruno Kirby. Scott, what do you have?
I was thinking Bruno Kirby too, but for some reason I decided to go Daniel Stern. I actually had Daniel Stern written down, thinking that he might have taken a more serious role in those other two movies, but I wouldn't be surprised either way.
The correct answer is Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, really?
Jake Gyllenhaal. City Slickers was his first movie.
No kidding.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
When you guys were thinking about it, I looked it up just to double check because it seemed kind of odd to me. So I double checked. He played a guy named Danny Robbins.
Okay.
So definitely in there.
That's a nice trivia question.
Yeah, it is a nice trivia question.
All right. Category 9 is going to be government. Who was the first Italian American to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court?
And that's serve on, not necessarily be like Chief Justice or anything like that, right?
It doesn't have to be a Chief Justice, but he was a justice. He or she was a justice.
Okay. Well, there weren't that many she's.
Yeah, I kind of gave that piece of it away there.
I wrote down an answer.
Wow, this is another tough question. And my mind is drawing a complete blank on justices right now, except for the obvious ones.
Don't you hate when that happens?
I absolutely hate when that happens.
It tends to happen more when you have a microphone on.
I don't know. It happens to me a lot. So. I'm pretty sure there's one who's sitting on, who's a current justice. His name is just not. I'm going to guess Scalia. Just pulling it right out of the old back door files, as I say.
Okay, so Scott says Scalia. Nick, what did you say?
I'll be completely honest with you. I don't know hardly any Supreme Court justices, so I wrote down Scalia as well because it sounded Italian.
Gentlemen, correct answer is Antonin Scalia.
Wow. Bam.
Nice work.
Holy cow. I pulled a Jonathan there.
I've become a verb.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you how many times I've listened to the podcast and heard Chris just bemoan the fact that you pull that trick.
He gets very frustrated with that. Round 10, category is drugs. What drug was listed along with alcohol as the official cause of death for Corey Monteith, who played Finn on the Fox TV show Glee?
Locked in.
I'm locked in, too.
I managed to get two Finns in the same episode here. I'm very proud of that.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, I guess you did. Yeah.
So now you guys, you both locked in.
Yeah.
You want to go together?
No.
No.
Probably not, yeah, because I'm not 100% confident, but it seems like I remember reading this.
All right, Scott, why don't you go first?
As little of a Glee fan as I am, I know it's surprising because I fit right in that demographic. But as little of a Glee fan as I am, it seems like I remember him having a really bad heroin addiction, so I went with heroin.
Okay. The correct answer is heroin.
Nick says heroin, Scott says heroin, Jonathan says heroin.
Right. Yay good. For heroin.
Well, yeah. That's, nah.
Yay. I don't know about that.
Yay for correct answers. How about that? All right. At the end of regulation, Scott has 70. Nick has 60.
I don't like this.
And we're going into the final question. Now, I get to tell you this now. The final questions for the tournament are a little bit easier than the normal final questions. Out of the two matches I've recorded so far, we've had two people get right answers and two people get wrong answers. So it is not impossible to get these final questions correct.
All right.
I wanted to make sure you knew that before you're wagering. When you're going to wager, I want you to think about this category. Sports.
So I was thinking to myself beforehand, I have a feeling, considering that we're both Bengals fans, it's something Bengals related might be in this final question.
I'll be very clear. Not Bengals related.
Oh, okay.
I will give you this.
I will guarantee you Nick's Bengals knowledge is way deeper than mine.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I'm just a Bengals question when Jonathan gave it to me. So, yeah.
I've listened to the to your podcast enough to know you've pulled some names from the past that I've just been like, who is that?
So I'll tell you this. Even more than it's not Bengals, it is not NFL football. So it is sports, but it is not an NFL question.
Okay.
And Nick, so I just saw you like switch. Did you just switch cameras for a minute?
I did. I've got two cameras. I wanted you to see my Carl Pickens jersey hanging up right here. How funny is that? All right, so sports, huh?
Sports. You both write down a number. Scott, you can wager up to 70. Nick, you can wager up to 60.
I wrote down my wager.
All right. Scott, do you have your wager written down?
Yeah, I guess so.
Here is – well, you guess so, or do you have a number written down?
Yeah, I have a number written down. I'm just not very happy about it.
All right. Nobody ever is, actually.
Good.
At least
I'm in good company.
Sorry. It might be the hardest part of the game is figuring out what you're going to wager.
It's always the hardest part of our games when we do the team game. So, yeah.
Here we go. I want you to name the four NHL teams that finished in first place in their respective divisions at the end of the 2015 regular season.
You suck.
I'm aware. Many people have told me this.
Oh my God.
There are two conferences and four divisions. The Western Conference has the Pacific Division and the Central Division. The Eastern Conference has the Atlantic Division and the Metropolitan Division.
Yes.
And while you guys are thinking it over, I can say that the winner of this game will go on to face the winner of the game between Tyler Lint and Jeffrey Segretten in round two. In the quarterfinals.
Okay, I've got something written down, but yeah, I'll go ahead and lock mine in. I can't think of anything better, so.
Out of curiosity, before Nick talks, is that a Boston Bruins hat on your head?
That is a Boston Bruins hat. I'm a bit of a hockey fan, but I'm just trying to remember who actually – because I know the playoff teams, but I'm trying to remember who actually won the divisions. Because in hockey, winning the division is so – it just doesn't mean a lot.
I just found that ironic there because I saw the B and I was like, man, he's wearing a hockey hat. This is it's unexpected.
Yep, I'm a Bruins fan. I'm actually a Boston everything fan except for the Bengals. How about making a good choice there?
Just right. Lost a lot of respect for you there, my man. Well, no, you don't like the Patriots, but you do like the Red Sox.
I'm a Red Sox fan. I'm a Celtics fan.
God,
I'm a Bruins fan. I have family in Boston.
What are we gonna do with you?
All right. We've got four answers down here, too, but I'm not comfortable or confident with any of them. I believe the Blackhawks are the Stanley Cup champions.
I can tell you that is correct.
You didn't have to tell them that.
That tells me that they were likely to be division champions in the Central Division based on their location in the country, so I'm going to go with the Blackhawks. You mentioned the Pacific. I'm leaning towards the LA Kings. Because I believe the Kings and the Blackhawks had an epic conference championship to get to the Stanley Cup final. So I wrote the Kings down. The Eastern Conference is where I'm a little dicey. I'm just throwing out two random guesses here, and I want to say the New York Rangers and the Montreal Canadiens.
Okay. Scott has a smile on his face.
I'm only smiling because those are the exact four teams I have written down, too. You can see here. And that's the only reason I have that is because Canadians, Rangers, I know, I'm pretty sure met for the Eastern Conference Championship last year, and the Kings Blackhawks is the Western Conference Championship. I'm just hoping that it was all number one that made it that far.
I seem to recall like the Blues having a really good year. So I was kind of maybe torn. Maybe Chicago kind of slipped up in the middle of the year. Maybe the Blues had the number one seed in their division. But I wrote down Blackhawks.
Okay, so it's interesting that you got the same answer. I can tell you, at the minimum, that you both named one team from each division. Which,
all right.
That's
a start.
You didn't make a fool out of yourself.
That means we didn't get it right,
though. And I believe that everybody named playoff teams.
Yep, I know they're all playoff teams.
Let's explore the correct answers.
All right.
The number one team in the Metropolitan Division in 2015, the New York Rangers. The number one team in the Atlantic Division in 2015, the Montreal Canadiens. The number one team in the Central Division in 2015, the St. Louis Blues. Yep.
Oh my God!
As soon as he said Blues, I was like, yep, he's right. The Blues had a great season last year, and the Blackhawks just snuck in the back door to get in the playoffs. Yep.
But it wouldn't have mattered because the winner of the Pacific Division was the Anaheim Ducks.
Oh, that was my second choice.
So the correct answers were the Canadiens, the Rangers, the Blues, and the Ducks. It was 70-60 going in. This is all going to depend on your wagers now. Nick, you were behind. Why don't you tell us what you wagered?
I wagered 60.
60. Scott, did you wager everything?
51. I was 51. Bet he would bet 60, and I just was going to get the 121 if he got it right. So.
Nick is so mad that he bet it all. He is so mad.
Well, sports, I'm thinking I'm going to be pretty solid on sports, and then you threw out hockey. I don't watch.
It's a sport.
It is a sport, technically, yes.
I love hockey, actually. I'm not a big fan, but I love watching it. So the final score is Scott 19, Nick 0. Great job, guys.
Those 0 points, I love it.
And with that, Scott, you have earned a place in the quarterfinals facing the winner between Jeffrey and Tyler.
Wow, awesome.
Great job, man.
Cool. If the Bengals could have only scored 19 points.
Well,
we won't get
into that. Yeah, let's not go there again. All right, so now neither of you, I don't think either of you has been really active in the Facebook group. I wanted to make sure you knew about it.
I didn't know about it. So
you did
very active in there.
Nick, I see you every once in a while. Every once in a while, I wouldn't say very active.
The problem is you all answer before I even have a chance to check it.
I'm telling you, man, that place is hopping. There is always something going on in the Trivial Warfare Army Facebook group. So I'm mentioning that because I want any listeners who love trivia, love listening to the show and want to engage in that, check out Trivial Warfare Army Facebook group. You will have a great time, and you will learn a lot. And you'll get to see me miss a lot of questions, which I do on Facebook frequently.
Good job, Scott. Well done.
Hey, good job, Nick. Thanks for everything. And everyone listen to Inside the Jungle, for God's sake. Let's get a plug in for Nick's podcast.
Hey, you're doing my job better than I am. That was a good job there.
All right. Thanks. I'm an amateur at it. I'll leave it to professionals.
Nick, what's the website people should go to if they want to check out your show?
You can find me at cincyjungle.com or spnt.tv.
All right, guys, that is the end of the first half of this episode. The next half will feature the matchup between John Spar and Chris Eve. But before we go there, I want to introduce you to a concept called a maybe sponsor. A maybe sponsor indicates that there may be a sponsor for the next half of the show, or there may not. I don't know, but if there is, you'll hear an advertisement right after this. Hey guys, we are back with contest number two in this tournament episode. I am joined by John Spar and Chris Eve. Hey guys, how are you doing today?
Good.
That was John's voice. Chris, how are you, my man?
Good, Jonathan. How about yourself?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm really glad you guys are here. You guys signed up for the tournament, and the winner of this episode is going to go on and face Chris, who defeated Joel in the first round. So somebody has something to look forward to here. Let's see who it is.
Yeah.
We're going to start with a Warm It Up Chris question.
Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to.
Warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born into.
You guys are competing against the other group on your same episode, and your question is about top-selling breakfast cereals. So these are the top-selling breakfast cereals in the year 2014. I have a list of the top 10 from the website bakeryandsnacks.com, and I want to know how many of the top 10 you guys can name. You are allowed to work together because you're competing against the other group.
John, I think an easy one is Cheerios. Am I right?
I'd agree with that. Cheerios has got to be on any list, right?
Cheerios is number 4.
All right, what about Raisin Bran?
Raisin Bran is number 9. Yikes. Chris actually wrote down Rice Bran, but I'm pretty sure he meant Raisin Bran, so I'm giving it Raisin Bran.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't know that Rice Bran, even if it was real, would make a top 10.
No, I have a feeling it wouldn't.
That doesn't sound good at all.
Don't you think Wheaties would be up there, too?
Yeah, we try Wheaties.
I got no Wheaties on this list.
Have you
had Wheaties? Has either of you had Wheaties recently?
No. Has it gone downhill?
I don't know if it was ever uphill. It tastes terrible.
I thought I liked it, but then back when I was eating it, I just covered it with a lot of sugar.
Well, of course. Then you turned it into Raisin Bran.
It did great. Okay, let's see. We got Cheerios and Raisin Bran.
Yep.
Top 10. What about, geez. Do you have to be specific? Oatmeal. Does that count?
No, oatmeal is not a cereal.
Okay.
We're talking cold cereals.
Cold cereals. Boxed cold cereals, I guess.
Yep.
All right. Boy, I just don't. Lucky Charms. What about Lucky Charms?
Lucky Charms, number 7 on the list.
Okay. See, now I think we need to get into the sugary marshmallow cereals, Chris. I think that's the only way.
Yeah. Okay.
Chris, you don't look like a guy who eats many sugary marshmallow cereals.
What about Trix?
Trix is not on the list, surprisingly.
Oh, bummer. Let's try. I can't think of anything right now. That's
why we do the warm up. Actually. It gets your brain going.
Yeah,
and it's not going at 8:30 on a Sunday.
It's great.
At 9 o'clock. not Boo Berry. Those are the Halloween cereals, like Boo Berry and
The monster ones.
Yeah, the monster ones. But there's one that's out all year long, and I can't remember which one it is. It's not Count Chocula.
Is it Count Chocula?
It's not. There's a story about that. It only comes out around Halloween, and they made a beer in Colorado.
Okay. Did
and
they?
Somebody bought all the boxes. In like Denver, and people were mad they couldn't get their favorite once a year cereal because this microbrewery bought all the boxes of Count Chocula to make this microbrew,
and then they couldn't brand it because they didn't have the rights to the name.
No, but they just used it as the base for their beer, and they called it something else. But
wow,
so it's not one of those. So let's try Chex.
Chex is not on the list,
and there's 4 of them. That's kind of tough.
That's too healthy.
Yeah. I think it might have been on the list at one point, but they started selling Chex Mix by itself, you know, so you don't have to buy the cereal anymore.
Oh, man. What other cereals?
I cannot think of
what about Honey Nut Cheerios?
Number one on the list, Honey Nut Cheerios. Really?
I wonder what other Cheerios.
I can tell you there are no other Cheerios on the list. Oh,
man. I thought that was going to be an easy one.
No.
All right, how about Apple Jacks?
Good guess, not on the list.
Unbelievable.
Boy, you guys are going to hate yourselves when I read the list. You know what? Nobody guessed Captain Crunch last time, but it's not on the list.
Well, that would be a good reason.
I love Captain Crunch. The only problem with it is that crunch mouth you get at the end.
Yes.
Tears up
what
your
about
jaw.
Fruity Pebbles?
Fruity, let me double check here. Not on the list.
Man, it's just not good cereal people, Chris.
Nope.
You haven't watched Saturday night. You haven't watched Saturday morning cartoons enough.
No,
it's obviously a problem. Actually, I tried to watch Saturday morning cartoons the other day. I was at my grandmother's house, way up in South Georgia, where you don't get much TV, right? And my kid was with me, and I was trying to throw some cartoons on for him. Nobody shows Saturday morning cartoons anymore. They are a thing of the past. I was very sad to say that. All right, guys, you have any other guesses? I can tell you that you are missing. You're missing number 2, number 3, number 5, 6, 8, and 10.
Wow, that's terrible.
That's awful.
Lucky Charms?
You already said Lucky Charms. That was number 7.
I was afraid of that. I'm starting to double back on myself here, cereal-wise. I can't think. I honestly. Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams is not on the list.
Man.
Do you guys give up?
Yeah, I'm done. I can't come up with anything.
Yeah, I can't think of anything either.
All right, here we go. I'm going to do them in reverse order. Number 10, Rice Krispies.
Oh, gee.
You're right. Number 8, Fruit Loops. Number 6, Frosted Mini Wheats. Number 5, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Number 3, Honey Bunches of Oats. Number 2, Frosted Flakes.
Oh, brother.
Come on, they're great.
There's only like two on that list that I've ever actually eaten. So.
Really?
And they were both cereal. They were both Cheerios.
I have to be honest. I have eaten every single one of these cereals in this list.
I don't think that's a badge of honor you want to wear.
I was a kid once. It's not like I bought them yesterday. Maybe only one of them. All right, guys. So we're about to get into our game. And I can tell you that your first category is going to be movies. What movie was set in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, but was actually filmed in Woodstock, Illinois?
Okay. I'm locked in.
You might as well say it together. You both locked in around the same time.
3, 2, 1?
Yes.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Good job, gentlemen. The answer is Groundhog's Day.
I'm hoping this is this works out for me because I graduated from Punxsutawney High School right about the time that movie came, right shortly before that movie came out. So, that was perfect.
You are kidding me, right? You graduated from Punxsutawney High School?
Class of 89. I'm a Punxsutawney Chuck.
So this whole round of questions about Groundhog's Day is probably going to go well or go poorly for Chris then.
Well, we'll see what happens in the rest of the questions. That's where it happens.
All right, round two. Your category is literature. Whose essay, Civil Disobedience, did Gandhi carry with him during his prison stays? Whose essay, Civil Disobedience, did Gandhi carry with him during his prison stays?
Civil Disobedience. Gosh, I can't. I know the name.
I'm trying to.
I can't.
Yeah, sure. I've heard of the book, too.
Usually a little list of names pops up in my head, and I try to get rid of them, but I got nothing. Civil Disobedience. I think I'm just going to go with Groundhog Day, really. No.
I'm locked in, so if you want to talk it out, John. I threw out something, but it's probably not right.
All
right.
Yeah, and anything I'm going to throw out is going to be something I'm throwing out, and it's going to be wrong, too.
Go ahead and talk through it out loud now.
Let's see. Civil Disobedience. I don't have any – I can't place it in anything. I can't say, well, it was in the 1800s. I can't say it was Greek and ancient. I can't I mean, I don't have that. I'm gonna say. I have to throw in the towel. I don't know. I can't even think of something that sounds even close to being correct. So,
okay,
I'm gonna say I don't know.
Chris, what did you write down?
I wrote down Henry David Thoreau.
And what's making you think Henry David Thoreau?
I was just going with the fact that Gandhi, obviously a peaceful guy, maybe was trying to read something that would just put him, not that he could be any more at ease, but just, you know, something calming for him.
Right. Well, gentlemen, the correct answer is Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Nice job, Chris.
That was good. Yeah.
A year ago, I wouldn't have got that, but listening to this podcast and Jonathan working things out, I was able to figure it out.
So I like
thanks
that.
To Jonathan on that one.
I'll take credit for that right answer.
that name never even crossed through my head at all as a possibility. So
yes, that's there's a couple of guys in that realm that are worth knowing about. You have Emerson and Thoreau in particular are worth knowing what they've done because they come up all the time in different trivia games. Category 3 is the Bible. Question is, what is interpreted in the Bible as either the final battle of good against evil or the place where it will happen? I will repeat the question. What is interpreted in the Bible as either the final battle between good and evil or the place where it will happen? John, you said you're locked in?
Yeah.
All right.
I am locked in as well.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you say it together then?
I don't know if I'm not sure.
Oh, no, you're not going to do that? Okay, well, Chris, why don't you share your answer with us first then?
I put Armageddon.
Armageddon. Okay, John, what did you say, my man?
Same thing, Armageddon.
Well done. The answer is Armageddon. All right, after three rounds, it is 30-20 in Chris's favor. You guys are doing well. Your fourth category is inventors. What inventor was known as the Wizard of Menlo Park?
I'm locked in, John, so if you want to talk about
it. Yeah, and I know it. I know exactly who it is. I can see his face. I can see his picture. He's from Ohio. Right down the road is his birthplace from where I am, and I'm just having one of those. I can't pick the name out. It's going to be – let's see here. He had the big fight with over electricity, DC versus AC, which he won because he was kind of a jerk. unbelievable. I'm going to talk myself right out of this. I'm going to dance all around it. And oh, come on. Oh, man. There's a church here in town that has one of the first chandeliers built by Thomas Edison. And he donated it to the church here, and it still hangs right down the street about two blocks from my house. Thomas Edison's my answer.
All right, Chris, what did you say, my man?
I had Edison as well.
The correct answer is Thomas Edison. Good job, gentlemen. John, am I understanding this correctly? The reason you got that question right is because of a chandelier hanging in a church in your town?
Yep, I had to walk my way through it. When I drive to my best friend's house, one of my best friend's houses through here, I drive through Edison, a town named for Thomas Edison, and I couldn't remember that. But I'm thinking my way down, and there's a big plaque on the wall underneath the chandelier, which is one of the first electric chandeliers in the country that was donated to St. Paul's United Methodist Church here by Thomas Edison.
That is brilliant.
In the late 1800s.
I love that.
He had a big battle with Tesla.
It was Tesla. That's right.
Tesla.
He told Tesla, I'll give you $10,000 if you can get this to work. Tesla came back, got it to work, and Edison said, you know, that's just an American humor. I don't have any money for you.
He said that to most of his workers, too, as far as I can
tell. Yeah.
You know, what's really interesting is if you read about it, or at least if I'm correct, I believe that the version of electricity or current management that Tesla came up with was a more efficient, less costly option. And we still don't take full advantage of it today because Edison was so overwhelmingly the guy that we still use the less efficient option. All right, your round 5 question, speaking of Edison, the category is science.
Science.
That was weak, guys. I need a better science out of you two. You have to say it with some oomph. Let's try that again.
I had enough of the Thomas Dolby from the, when I was in high school.
Let's try this again so you guys don't look bad. The category is science.
Science!
Science!
There we go. Well done, gentlemen. All right, here's your question. What planet's moons are nearly all named after Shakespearean characters? What planet's moons are nearly all named after Shakespearean characters?
Well, I'm going to lock in my answer. I think I've got it.
All right.
Okay, so Titan is a moon. I don't know which planet it's from. And I know Titus and Andronicus is a Shakespeare play, so I assume that's where it's coming from. I feel like there's only two guesses it could be, so I'm going to go with Jupiter.
Jupiter, okay. John, what did you say?
I said Jupiter, too. Not that I could think of the moons right offhand, but it's the one that has like 60-some moons. There's a lot, and there's a lot of Shakespeare plays. And if you had to name all the moons around Jupiter, you're going to want to tap into something that's got a lot of names. So I went with Jupiter, too.
Gentlemen, as longtime listeners of the show, there was one planet that stands above the rest in terms of getting named and getting mentioned. The correct answer is Uranus. Check this out. So I had the list of names. When I wrote the question, I had to go check out the names, right? I'm going to give you the list. I'm going to read them really fast because there are about 20 of them. Here you go. Cordelia, Ophelia, Bianca, Cressida, Desdemona, Juliet, Portia, Rosalind, Mab, Belinda, Perdita, Puck, Cupid, Miranda, Francisco, Ariel, Umbriel, Titania, Oberon, Caliban, Stefano, Trinculo, Syncorax, Margaret, Prospero, Celebos, and Ferdinand. Those are the moons of Uranus. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know there were that many moons around...
After round five, it is 40-30 with Chris in the lead. And the category for the sixth round is television. Right. Morgendorfer was the last name of what television character who was a sophomore at Lawndale High School when her show premiered on MTV in 1997? I will read it again.
Can you read something else?
No. Morgendorfer was the last name of what TV character who was a sophomore at Lawndale High School when her show premiered on MTV in 1997?
I locked in an answer. John, you can talk it out.
Doesn't that make you feel good when someone else locks in and you don't have any idea?
I stopped watching MTV in 89, so... Gosh, 97. Let's see, I was in college. What shows were going on during that time? I don't know. Big Brother, I think, might have been on. Is that a thing? I don't even know. It seems I've heard it before. Her show on... I really can't think of any shows on MTV.
Uh-oh.
I've made fun of shows on MTV. That's what I'm going to say.
They got Beavis and Butthead, right?
Oh, they were on MTV. Yeah, I never watched it, though. I was out of the country when it came on, I think. So I can't think of any other shows. I know it was a bunch of teenage shows. I can't think of any of them.
So
I'm going to go with Big Brother.
Big Brother. All right, Chris, what did you say, my man?
Okay, I guessed a little bit. I don't know if I got the name right. I think it was an animated show, and I think her name was Daria.
Oh,
it's funny. You almost gave it away when you said they had Beavis and Butthead because Daria was a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead. The answer is Daria.
All right. No chance I was going to get that.
Daria Morgendorfer.
I remember it, but no chance.
Well done. John, you're falling behind, man.
Hey, my age is catching up with me.
Chance to catch up here. Your category for round seven is U.S. symbols. What state's name is spelled incorrectly on both the U.S. Constitution and the Liberty Bell?
Huh. Oh. Okay. I think I've got that. Yeah, I'll lock it in.
Chris.
Right now, just trying to think of the, basically just the original 13 colonies, because I assume it's got to be just one of those. And I assume the spelling might have been an old English spelling or something at the time. But nothing is sticking out to me right now. And I'm from the Philadelphia area, so the Liberty Bell is about an hour away from me. Haven't visited it in 20 years.
I was about to say, we don't have time for you to go drive over there and take a look.
Yeah. So this one is just not coming to me. So I'm going to just throw out a guess here. And I'm going to say New Jersey. And there's really no logic behind that. I got nothing else.
All right. Chris says New Jersey. John, what are you thinking? Or what did you write down, actually?
I think it's Pennsylvania. I think it's missing an N or something like that on those documents. That's the only thing I can think of because everything else seems pretty easy to spell.
Gentlemen, the correct answer? Pennsylvania.
Oh, thank God.
And it is because it is missing an N. It only has one N.
Okay.
Ugh.
That was a big one, John.
Yeah, I didn't get too far behind now.
That's right.
Catch up.
All right, going into round 8. Category is national parks. The 6th and 12th largest U.S. national parks, one being in Alaska and the other in Montana, both have names that begin with what word? The 6th and 12th largest U.S. national parks, one being in Alaska, the other in Montana, both have names that begin with what word?
Oh.
So, national parks is not my best category. I don't know of a national park in either state.
Begins with what word? Let's see.
Okay, I wrote down an answer.
Yeah, and I'm doing the same. The only thing I can think of. Oh, yeah. Okay, I think I've got it.
Well, John, he officially wrote his down, so you can go ahead and talk and say what did you start with, and then what was the O moment there?
My start was just a guess. There's an awful lot of national parks that start with the word grand. So I went with grand, and then as I was thinking about it, some parks started dropping in, like Grand Tetons National Park, the Grand Canyon, the Grand. So it's a pretty common national park name. I have no idea what order parks are in as far as size, but you know what? I'm throwing out grand as a possibility.
All right. Chris, what were you thinking?
I wrote down grand as well. I was thinking of Grand Tetons, but I also – what held me back a little bit from grand was the fact that you didn't say Grand Canyon as far as – you didn't throw in a third national park in there, if that's considered a national park, which I think it is. So like I said, my answer is grand.
All right. I can tell you that the correct answer starts with a G. The answer is Glacier. Glacier National Park, I believe, is the big one in Alaska. I don't know the name of the one in Montana.
Glacier.
Glacier. Close.
Glacier. I don't think. Well, okay. I suppose it does. I'm saying Montana, Glacier, really? Can it be, you know, Moose or something? I don't know.
Moosehead National Park.
There's Big Sky. I know that.
I bet there is a Big Sky National Park. Big could have been a good answer too, right?
That's true, yeah. Mm.
All right. Yeah. Round 9. Actually, let me give you a score check. After round 8. Chris has 50. John has 40. It is a very tight game. Oh, I doubled up on science in this game. Okay. Round 9, your category is science.
Science!
Yes.
Well done. All right. What part of the eye changes shape during LASIK surgery? What part of the eye changes shape during LASIK surgery?
I'm locked in, Chris. You can go ahead and...
I am locked in, too. Never had LASIK. I'm going to just assume the part of the eye where you're going to have to need more vision or better vision. I'd said retina.
Retina, okay. John, what did you say, my man?
I said I wrote down cornea, but I think that might be incorrect.
All right, let's find out. Let me consult my handy-dandy phone, which I'm using as a sheet of paper. And the correct answer is... the cornea.
Oh. After I wrote it down, I thought, oh, no, it's not the cornea. It's probably the lens.
No, it was the cornea.
I'm glad I locked in the other one.
You felt bad about the right answer. It is all tied, 50-50, going into round 10. I can tell you, if we have a tie at the end of the game, we do have a tiebreaker procedure.
Okay.
It's rock, paper, scissors. So,
right.
I encourage somebody to have a different score.
that That seems fair.
I think so. Okay, round 10, your category is food. What city is the site of the quote-unquote original McDonald's restaurant, even though it is actually the ninth, but it was the first opened by Ray Kroc? So I'll read that again. I'll make that a little bit easier. What city is the site of the quote-unquote original McDonald's restaurant, even though it was actually the ninth to be opened? It is known to be the original because it was the first to be opened by Ray Kroc. I want the city.
This is not coming to me. I think I know the state.
Yeah.
Man. All right, I wrote down an answer.
Okay, the only thing I can think of, I'm pretty sure the state's Illinois. I cannot think of the city. I'm trying to picture that plaque in our, with Ray Kroc, that bronze plaque in the McDonald's with Ray Kroc's face on it in the history.
Is there one? Like, is there Kroc, one of those?
In almost every McDonald's, there's one on the wall somewhere, and I cannot think of the city. It was, let's see, Ray Kroc. And I'm not good at my cities. Except for the big ones, you know, Chicago and Carbondale, and there's one in the middle where Illinois State University is, and I can't remember that one. And this is all going to be moot because it's going to be New Mexico or something, you know. So I'm going to completely misremember this. You know what? I can't. I'm going to say Springfield, Illinois.
Springfield, Illinois. All right, Chris, what did you say?
I think, John, I think it's out in western Pennsylvania, I think.
Yeah?
But I think it's maybe a smaller city, but I put Pittsburgh just to put something down.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can tell you that the state is Illinois. The city is Des Plaines.
Des
Plaines, Illinois.
Oh, well.
All right. That means this is going to come down to wagers because you're tied 50-50 going into the final question. Remember I said the final question is a little bit easier than our normal final questions have been? That doesn't mean it's easy, but it won't be impossible. So I need you both to write down a wager.
Okay.
Chris, you have a wager written down?
Yes, I do.
All right, perfect. Here is your question. I want you to name 4 out of the last 5 movies featuring the actor Tom Cruise. I want you to name 4 out of the last 5 movies featuring the actor Tom Cruise. And when I say out of 4 out of the last 5, I'm talking about of the last 5 by release date.
Okay, I'm locked in.
All right.
Oh, man.
And you just wrote down 4 movies, right?
I just wrote down 4.
Perfect. All right, John, you can talk through your torturous attempt to try and remember these now.
Yeah, I haven't seen a Tom Cruise movie in a long time, so I really don't know. I watch almost all my movies after the fact, after they've been out. So I have no idea when they came out. and I just don't watch a lot of Tom Cruise movies. There's one I'm thinking of that I think that was pretty recently. Well, one of them is that the last Mission Impossible movie, which I don't remember the subtitle for, but I think it's the 5th one. So I said Mission Impossible 5, which was just out last year, I think, and I did not see it. So before that, I mean, there was one I think where he played an assassin. Wasn't it? He rode around in the back of a taxi or something like that. I don't remember him. I don't remember the name of that one. I remember seeing that, and I didn't think it was too much.
That was with Jamie Foxx.
I was just thinking that was with Jamie Foxx.
But that was about 15 years ago.
Really? Because I watched it about 5 years ago. So
okay.
That's what I'm saying. I have no idea. Mission Impossible 5 is the last. I'm trying to think of anything else he might have been in recently. I certainly didn't see it. I'm terrible at this stuff. I can't even think of any names of any. I don't know.
You going to cry uncle on it?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. As somebody who just got asked to name the TV finales that were the highest rated on a different show, I understand your pain.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, this is your chance to take it home and surge into the lead for the win. Name the 4 movies.
I have Mission Impossible 5. I think it was called Rogue Nation.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds right.
That was the best movie I saw this past year. I have Edge of Tomorrow. I have Oblivion. and I have Mission Impossible 4.
So close.
I've never heard of those two middle ones.
So close. Your correct answers are Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, Edge of Tomorrow, Oblivion, Jack Reacher, and Rock of Ages.
I forgot he was in that.
So close. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So this becomes very interesting. We had a tie 50-50 going in. Neither of you knew what you were going to be dealing with. Let's find out, what did we wager? Who wants to go first?
I'll go. I bet the farm.
You bet 50.
Yep.
Chris, what did you wager?
I wagered 3.
Hey, go big or go home is the way I look at it.
So, yeah. With a score of 47-0, Chris Eve is moving on in the tournament, and we have to say farewell to John Swar. Oh, guys, that was a pretty good game. That was a tense game. Good, you had a good matchup.
Yeah, congratulations. Good luck against Chris.
I was sweating towards the end.
That was outstanding. I'll tell you what, Chris is going to be no easy feat. Actually, it'll be a Chris versus Chris showdown.
Yeah.
When we do a warm it up, Chris, I'm not sure who's going to be warming it up. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to this Trivial Warfare Listener Tournament episode. If you haven't checked out the Facebook group yet, we encourage you to go join up over there. We have trivia flying around on Facebook at all times of the day. It's a lot of fun. And if you haven't yet, we'd love for you to pop over to iTunes and hit us up with a review. All right. This was a tournament game featuring John Spar and Chris Eve. Chris is the winner, and he's going to go on to face my boy Chris Hollister in the quarterfinals. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you coming on. And everybody remember, this was Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys. What American, let me rephrase that. What would a, all right, try again.